Welcome to the Marriage Today podcast. I'm Jimmy Evans. This is my wife, Karen. And we have a great program for you today. We're going to answer some questions right off the top here. Then we're going to go into a teaching of mine from the Our Secret Paradise seminar on having lasting passion in your marriage. It is possible to have passion in your marriage that lasts for the rest of your life. We'll be talking about that. So, Karen, we have some questions from our viewers. I think you have the first one there.
I do. After 32 years of marriage, my parents divorced. I'm worried that my marriage may suffer the same fate. How can we keep this from happening?
Yeah, and you know, there is a lot of anxiety among people today, Karen. Worried about, am I going to be a statistic? So in my book, The Four Laws of Love, which is the four laws of marriage from Genesis 2, when God created marriage, he created four very simple laws. Okay, and the laws are simple. It's in Genesis 2, 24 and 25. Marriage has to be first. It's the law of priority. You have to work at it. It's the law of pursuit. You have to share. It's the law of partnership. There can't be dominance or independence. And you have to be careful. It's the law of purity. Four simple laws. It's first, we're working at it, we're partners, and we're careful. You'll never, in my opinion, you will never find a divorce when those things are happening. Okay. When those things are not happening, you're in trouble. Because these are universal laws. God said, for this cause a man will leave his father and mother. And the reason, and that's when he created Adam and Eve. And some people would say, well, he was just talking to Adam and Eve. They didn't have mothers. Adam and Eve were created directly by God. They did not, they're the only two people in the human race that have not had mothers. And so God was speaking four laws to all of humanity, and he was telling them, if you're going to, just like when God creates the universe, he creates physical laws. All types of laws that govern it, which means there's predictability, there's order, and there's safety. Okay. So in marriage, when you obey the laws of marriage, there's predictability, there's order, and there's safety. Predictability means I know we're going to succeed. The order means we're operating within God's order. This is not chaotic, and it's a safe relationship. So 32 years of marriage and they divorced, I can promise you that in that relationship, there was one or more laws being broken. And it's impersonal. It's just like the law of gravity. You take 100 people and put them on top of a building, they jump off, 100 people are gonna get hurt or killed. Gravity just doesn't care what your name is. They don't care anything like that. They maybe a little cares how much you weigh, but it's just impersonal. So the laws of marriage are impersonal. Every person who obeys them will succeed. And every person who violates them is going to have consequences because of that. Now, early in our marriage, we almost divorced. I broke all four laws, okay? And so when the Lord taught me the four laws of marriage, I mean, it was just complete revelation to me. As soon as we started practicing it, our marriage was healed. So this person says, you know, my parents divorced, I'm worried now. Don't be worried. That just understand there are laws of marriage. If you obey those laws, you're going to be great. You're not going to have any problems. This is a question for you, Karen. My wife and I no longer have any passion for one another. I'd like her to be more energetic inside and outside the bedroom. Can we get the passion back? If so, how?
Oh, that's a good question. I think that every couple at some point struggles with that. It's just, you know, and I think that's so important. When you go through times like this, this question or the question that you just answered, not to get yourself discouraged, because everybody goes through stuff. I mean, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. And so there's going to be ups and downs. And so you can't base your relationship with your spouse with feelings, you know, with emotions. It has to be a commitment that no matter what, we're going to work on this. And, you know, first of all, I would say start with good communication. You know, have a time when you're not mad and sit down and just talk about things and just say, you know, like you're really good about saying, you know, are you okay? You know, is there anything I'm doing that you don't like? And, you know, it's have those checkpoints, you know, where you get together and you discuss, you know, have I done something to hurt you? Or are you feeling okay? And, you know, lay the groundwork in a positive way instead of looking at the negative of what he doesn't have.
Yeah, I think that exactly what you said. The passion is a decision of working at the relationship. If you're waiting on feelings, a lot of times you're going to be very disappointed because feelings come and go. And, you know, during COVID, you have children at home with their parents. You have some people working triple shifts In some industries, you have other people that are unemployed. Mm-hmm. They're having a lot of financial strain and things like that. So there just has to be a commitment that just says, regardless of what we're going through, we're going to go through it together. Mm-hmm. And we're going to work at this relationship and keep the passion of relationship. And by the way, we're going to go into the teaching. Thank you, Karen. Great, mm-hmm. great answer. But we're going to go into this teaching now on lasting passion in marriage. This is from Our Secret Paradise seminar. But it really will help you to understand you can have passion in your marriage that lasts, and there's no secret, there's no, you know, I guess mystery to it, is you can have lasting passion in your marriage. Now be sure if you haven't already subscribed to our podcast that you do so on the Apple Podcast Network or Spotify, and also leave us a review. We love to read your reviews. We're going right now to the teaching on lasting passion in marriage. Wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay. Well, the word treasure is the word thesaurus, if y'all know what a thesaurus is. And the word treasure means treasure, but it means a repository of treasures. It's a treasure chest. It's a place that you put your treasures. Jesus said, wherever your treasure chest is, there will your cardia, that's the Greek word for heart, there will your cardia be also. The word cardia means the seat of your passions. Here's what Jesus is saying. Wherever you're putting the best of your life, your passion will always be there. You can't separate your passion from your treasure. In fact, your passion tells on you. You say, well, are you passionate about your marriage? No, not really. You know, you're passionate about God? No, not really. You're passionate about NASCAR? Oh, I love NASCAR. You're passionate about football? Oh, oh, I just can't. I'm a fantasy footballer. See, your passion is telling you where you're putting your treasures. And so Jesus said this, if you lay up your treasures on earth, your passion is going to be on the earth somewhere. But if you lay up your treasures toward God in heaven, that's where your passion is going to be. Now listen to me. Givers don't backslide. A person who gives to the Lord, they don't backslide because their heart's with God. When you give the best of your time, talents, and treasures to God, your passion's there. It tells on you, okay? When you don't give the best of your time, talents, and treasures to God, you'll always struggle with God. You'll always struggle with the desire. And I'm saying, I've been there, done that. That's how I lived the first years of our marriage, is I was not a good husband. I was not a godly man. I was not a giver. I didn't serve the Lord. And I always struggled with the world. I always struggled with temptation and all of those things until my treasure came back to God. And so the way we fall in love is we give each other our best. It is. You fell in love because you got interested in each other, you started going out, and you knocked yourself out the first times you went out. I mean, you invested the best of your time in talents and treasure. You said no to other things so you could say yes to each other, and guess what? You fell in love. But that's also how you fall out of love. There was a woman who did a study, Jane Aldous, and it was a sociological study that she did. Very large study, and she was finding out how marriages operate and the most happy time in marriage. And what she found was that, and this doesn't surprise anyone, the best years of marriage are the early years of marriage, typically. They're the first 3 or 4 years, especially the years before children. Okay, so a couple gets married, they're in love, and they have great years until the kids come around. But when the kids come around, the marriage satisfaction typically drops, okay? And the marriage satisfaction gets the absolute worst when kids are in junior high and high school, in secondary school. And if you survive that, and one day they leave when they're 17, 18, 37, 38, somewhere in there. If someday they leave and you survive it, your marriage gets better. This is what she found. Marriage is best at the very beginning. It dips when the kids come. It goes worse when they're in secondary school. Then when they leave, the marriage gets a little bit better, not as good as it was at the first. Well, let me say something to you. God makes marriage to get better every year. What a crazy thing that some rookie is better than someone who's been married 30 years. Well, also, what a crazy thing that you got 2 or 3 good years and then goodbye, the honeymoon's over. What a horrible concept of marriage that is. And so here's the problem. When you're not sowing into your marriage, here's the problem that it creates. You're giving what belongs to your spouse to somebody else, and it creates jealousy in your spouse. See, we know Genesis 2:24 says, for this cause a man will leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. We know we belong to each other first. We know that. We instinctively know that when we get married. I know that Karen belongs to me before she belongs to the kids. I know that she belongs to me before she belongs to her family, her parents. That Karen, I belong to Karen before I belong to Marriage Today or anybody else. We belong to each other first. And when my spouse takes what belongs to me and gives it to her friends or gives it to the kids, or my husband takes it and gives it to work or whatever, I get jealous. It's a legitimate jealousy. And by the way, Exodus 34, God says, my name is jealous, capital J. One of God's names is capital J, jealous. God created us for him first, and he is jealous of anything that takes us away from him. Amen. Let me tell you something. The reason that God is a jealous God is because he's madly in love with us. And he's not willing for us to go lightly. When we begin to drift away from him, he fights for us, and we need to be thankful that we have a God that fights for our hearts. He loves us so much, but we're the same way with each other. If we begin, we get married, we're investing in each other, we say no to other things, our treasure is each other. We're putting the best of our life in each other, and guess what? We fall in love, and we get married. And so why does the marriage satisfaction drop when the kids are born? It shouldn't. It should not drop whatsoever. Why does it drop? Because when kids come around, typically men turn their hearts to their work, and women turn their hearts to the kids. And now we're not first anymore. A man has his career, the woman has her kids, and they have big fights of why are you at work all the time? Well, when I come home, you don't pay any attention to me. Oh, you're worn out after taking care of the kids. Kids take all your time and attention. And then secondary school, why is that so stressful? Because they're more expensive than ever, and you're a chauffeur that has to take them all over the earth. They're busy, they're stressed out, they're stressing you out, they're active, they're trying to break every law in the books, you know, and you're the warden, you're the financier, you're everything, you know. And it puts the stress on your relationship. And then when they leave someday and you have an empty nest, typically the satisfaction is a little better, but damage has been done. It can be undone, but damage has been done. Here's another problem of investing in someone other than your spouse. There's going to be a harvest. See, what I would do is I would go golfing. And I was a good golfer. And I was a 3 or 4 handicap, and I thought, you know, if I can trim a few strokes off my score, I can start competing seriously and all of that. And so I go out and play golf with my friends. Well, I was sewing on the golf course. Guess where my passion was? My passion was on the golf course. My greatest moments in life were on the golf course. And I would come home and Karen would just be looking at me with that sour kind of a, where have you been looking? With the night that we almost divorced, I came in from playing golf and she complained. I said, get out of the house. Get out of here. Go back to your parents. I don't care where you go. I'm sick of your attitude. And she went in the bedroom crying. And see, you're investing in your work more than your marriage. Guess where your passion is? You're investing in the kids more than the marriage. Guess where your passion is? And here's the next thing that happens, and it's awful. And that is, your spouse begins to complain and ask you to come back to them, and you feel conflicted because you don't want to.
Hey there, Jimmy Evans here, and today I want to share something with you that's changed the way so many people approach sleep entirely. It's Cozy Earth bedding. They sent us some sheets and sleeping sets, and they are the softest thing we've ever felt. The softness was remarkable, akin to nothing we've ever experienced. For anyone who values their sleep as much as I do, Cozy Earth is a game changer. What impresses me most about Cozy Earth isn't just the incredible softness or the temperature regulation, it's the commitment to quality. All of their products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. They're built to endure, and that's something I stand behind. I recommend Cozy Earth to everyone, friends, family, you name it. Here's a special offer just for you. Use promo code MARRIAGE35 at CozyEarth.com to take 30% off your order. Trust me, this is a deal you want to take advantage of. Head over to CozyEarth.com and use the code MARRIAGE35 for 35% off. Discover the Cozy Earth difference tonight. Sleep better, live better, good night, and take care.
Well, how do you get it back? You know, and I'm saying not just from 100% to zero, but like if you're at 30% of the passion that you once had or 50% of the passion that you once had, how do you get it back? It's so easy to get it back. Jesus tells us how. This is Revelation chapter 2. And Jesus is coming. These are the letters to the seven churches that Jesus writes. And this is the first one. This is the church at Ephesus. And Jesus just says all kinds of good stuff about the church at Ephesus. All these really dutiful things that they're doing. But here's what he says to them. This is interesting. I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Now, here's what Jesus says. I'm not good with anything less than first love. Passionate love. I'm not good with that. Why? Because somebody has your first love. See, when you fell in love with each other, when you lose that, it doesn't just go away, it moves. Somebody else has your first love. Jesus, I'm not going to take second place. You think I'm going to take second place? I have something against you. You have left your first love. And if you don't change, I'm going to remove your lampstand. And the lampstand means representing him, his anointing and blessing as a church. See, lukewarm Christians are a bad advertisement for a great God. Amen. And he won't have it. He's just too great of a God to have a bunch of lukewarm people representing him. He wants a passionate group of people. We are walking billboards for our God. Amen. We're also walking billboards for our spouse. And one of the most unpleasant things in the world is to sit and listen to someone complain about their spouse. Not just complain, but be ugly about it. I am a walking advertisement for Karen Evans. And I'm telling you, she's fabulous. She's fabulous. And we were out of love. I told Karen, I came home from playing golf and all my passion was in golf and my heart was not turned toward my children. I was a poor father. And I came home and Karen complained to me about golf and I yelled at her and told her to get out of the house. And that morning I had read the Bible. I read the Bible every morning. I was an idiot, but I was a very sanctified idiot. And I had read the Bible that morning in John 16 and it says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you into all truth. And it hit me. When I read that, it just hit me. And when Karen went into the bedroom crying, I sat down in the living room and I thought, I'm losing my marriage. I just can't believe this is happening to me. I don't know what to do. And when I sat down, I remembered that scripture. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you into all truth. I was a very arrogant person. I never admitted I ever did anything wrong. I blamed everything on Karen. And I said, Holy Spirit, teach me how to be a husband. Well, when I prayed that prayer, something fell off of my eyes. I really don't know how to explain it. Something fell off of my eyes. The moment before that, I thought, I'm Mr. Wonderful, and I accidentally married the devil's ex-wife. You know, I mean, boy, isn't this a terrible thing. The instant after I prayed that prayer, I thought, I'm the biggest idiot in the world. And I've got a wonderful woman in there, and I've crushed her with my mouth, my attitude. And I went into the bedroom and I said to Karen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way I've treated you. I'm sorry for the way I've talked to you. And I'm going to hang up my golf clubs. Now, when I told her that I was hanging up my golf clubs, she knew that Jesus had touched my heart. And we didn't fall back in love that night. Not at all. So I woke up the next day and I went to work and I came home and I was nicer to Karen. I wasn't mean to her. And I was careful in how I said things. And I helped with the kids and I helped around the house and nothing changed that day. I did it the next day and I did it the next day and I did it the next day. And I think it was 10 days or 2 weeks or something that somebody laughed. And when somebody laughed, I thought, you know, it's been a long time since anybody laughed in this house. But it began to get lighthearted again. And several weeks later, we were friends. And several months later, we were deeply in love. And we never lost it. Because we will not change our thesaurus. the best of my life goes to Jesus Christ. He deserves the best. The second best of my life goes to Karen Evans, and I will not change that. Wherever your treasure is, wherever your repository is, there will your passion be also. And so if your passion has decreased, it's just telling you you're not putting in there what you used to put in there. Somebody else is getting what belongs to your spouse. And the conflicted emotions are normal. Focus on yourself. And this is the most important thing. And the question is, are you giving your best in the marriage? For example, what a lot of people do in marriage is they defend themselves based on their spouse's behavior. And they say, well, no, I'm not, but my spouse is doing this. But that's not the question. The question is, are you doing your best? And I'll talk about redemptive love in another session, but it's very important. The second is, deal with the root issues that cause you to turn away in the first place. For example, laziness and taking your spouse for granted. That was me. I was lazy. I was relationally lazy. And once we got married, I thought we just ought to have a great marriage because we were married. I didn't know it took work. I didn't know that I had to be nice to her or anything like that. I had completely unrealistic expectations. I was lazy. I was a lazy husband. And another thing is disappointment and frustrations. Most people get married with unrealistic expectations in marriage. And the number one reason for divorce isn't money or children or anything like that. It's disappointment. We get married, our spouse doesn't meet our expectations, we get disappointed, and we turn our heart away. Turn our heart to the kids, turn our heart to work, turn our heart to something else. So, in other words, what I'm saying is if you've fallen out of love and you don't have the passion that you once had, you may have 70%, you may have 50%, but you don't have that passion that you used to have. You have to examine the root issue and say, yeah, I got disappointed. You broke my heart. But a lot of times the problem isn't just in our spouse, it's in our own expectations, that we have unrealistic expectations. Feelings of rejection, jealousy about children, work, something like that, that if that's the root issue of why you're not investing the way that you once did, you need to be honest about that and be honest with your spouse about that. Another thing is communicate to your spouse concerning your own mistakes in the marriage and your commitment to give your best again. Tell your spouse, I am not giving to you. This is what Karen and me. I'm giving my best at work, not to you. I'm giving my best to the kids, not to you. And I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that anymore. That was a mistake. And there's no excuse for it. You know, in our family, we taught our children to respect our marriage. And you have to do this. Children will possess your soul if you let them. And sometimes you'll hear people say, I live for my kids. Well, that's a big mistake. I don't live for my kids. I live for Jesus first, my marriage second, my children third. How are your children going to be successful in marriage unless you show them how?
Hey, this is Brent Evans with Exo Marriage, and I want to thank you for listening to the Marriage Today podcast. We believe your marriage has a 100% chance of success if you do it God's way. If you enjoyed today's teaching and want to keep learning, hey, subscribe to the Marriage Today podcast and take some time to leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word and can encourage someone else in need. For more great marriage content, check out exomarriage.com, where you can see all of our marriage building resources, articles, and live events.